This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Bruce Herbert, President, and Larry Doors, Vice President of Newground Social Investment, a company dedicated to socially responsible investing and shareholder advocacy. Bruce and Larry were most recently guests on the sustainability segment in June of 2010 and told us about recent successes of shareholder advocacy in creating positive change in publicly traded corporations. Bruce Herbert and Larry Doors return today to give us an update on progress made since then and to evaluate the accomplishments of shareholder advocacy in 2011. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks very much.
Would you like to begin by reminding us of the purpose of socially responsible investing?
Well, really, the purpose of socially responsible investment, or SRI as the acronym goes, is twofold. It really is to increase both the transparency and the accountability of America's corporations. And we practice SRI really in a way so as to allow people to merge their values with their dollars and have a future world that's more like what they want to see for themselves, their grandchildren, and so forth.
How does shareholder advocacy fit into the goals of socially responsible investing?
Well, often SRI is described as a stool with three legs. And one leg is the screening, and that's how most people traditionally think of social investment, and that's the avoidance element. Avoid tobacco, avoid nuclear, and so forth. But that's only one of the three legs. The second is the microcredit lending or community investment. And what that does is that really brings necessary banking and capital services. It makes them available to people who have traditionally been excluded from that, whether that's poor people or minorities or regions of the country or sections of a town. The third, the shareholder advocacy, which is what Newground is particularly known for, that is, instead of avoiding companies, you actually use your rights as shareholders of companies to directly engage management about addressing the issues that arise and improving their practices.
How large a role does socially responsible investing currently play in overall investing?
Well, there is a major report that's done by the U.S. Sustainable Investment Forum, which just changed its name, incidentally, last week from the Social Investment Forum. And the U.S. SIF does a report every 2 years. And so their last comprehensive report showed that about $1 in $8 or $1 in $9 is invested with some social implication.
Looking now at shareholder advocacy in detail, what steps lead to a shareholder proposal being placed on the ballot at a company's annual meeting?
The whole process is really defined by the Securities and Exchange Commission, or the SEC. And the SEC rules establish that a shareholder must own at least $2,000 worth of stock, and that's dollars, not shares. So $2,000 and have held those shares for a year. There are a few other particulars around that, but those are the two most critical ones, which really indicates that the threshold for involvement is quite low. And then the way that people decide, it's a variety of different ways. In Newground's case, we sometimes have clients that come to us with existing positions of stock, and they say, well, I really would like to do something with this company that I already own. And so we'll retain some of those shares, regardless of how we're investing their assets otherwise. Other times people come and they have a burning interest in a particular issue. Maybe they're philanthropically involved with that. Maybe they're giving of their time and donating that way. And so then we can help them to find companies at which that issue is a live topic. And then there are times, for instance, where people will come to us, nonprofit groups from around the country or other pension funds and so forth, who will ask us to take on an issue because they don't have the shares or haven't held the shares long enough. So we'll be asked by third parties, colleagues from around the country, to take on an issue.
Overall, who files most of the shareholder proposals nationwide?
Well, you know, some of them are filed by individuals, but for the most part, these are filed by SRI mutual funds, Domini Social Investment, Pax World, some of those sorts of companies that people might be familiar with. And then an awful lot are filed by members of the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility, which is a faith-based network with more than $100 billion under management, all of which is meant to further the mission of those organizations.
And ICCR, by the way, they're the folks that created the South African Divestiture Movement and are celebrating their 40th anniversary later this year.
That's right. And then also big pension funds, which, you know, when you think about it, pension funds really should take a very long-term view because they're going to have to be paying out benefits decades into the future. And so increasingly, you see these big pension funds being very interested in promoting social and environmental sustainability through the shareholder advocacy process.
Which topics have been most prominent during this 2011 proxy season?
Well, this is a very interesting question because up until this year, there's been a predominance of what are called corporate governance-related issues. But because of a law change that now requires companies to mandate a vote on what's called say-on-pay, executive compensation, for this year, for the first time, environmental and social resolutions outnumbered governance resolutions because what had been a large number of governance resolutions are now mandated to be on the ballot already. So it was very interesting. And in that regard, the key issues probably continue to be transparency of corporate political activity, sustainability reporting, and things related to climate change and greenhouse gas reduction. And then a relatively new one that we did touch on before is the coal ash and fracking. And the fracking has made great strides in the last year.
Would you like to go into some more detail about the shareholder advocacy efforts in regard to the environmental issues this year?
Sure. This year, there were 68 climate and energy-related resolutions that were filed with 43 coal, electric power, and oil companies. So it was a pretty busy year. One of the key issues is asking companies to adopt quantitative goals for greenhouse gas emissions reductions. And even at ExxonMobil, that got 26% support from the shareholders, which is very substantial. It's an enormous company. And at a company called Lane Christensen, which is a drilling company, it got 92.6% support. And we had an interesting experience this year at Newground, and that was that we filed one of these resolutions at Berkshire Hathaway. Because Berkshire Hathaway owns MidAmerica Energy, which is a coal-burning electricity generator. And so we were asking Berkshire to set a goal, and also Berkshire would be allowed to not only set the goal, but to design the way that it would achieve that goal as well. And so we were asking them to do that in order to reduce the output of greenhouse gases. And it was particularly interesting, I think, because Berkshire is a very big insurance holder. And insurance companies are more and more the ones on the line for payouts when we have increasing disasters related to extreme weather events.
And insurance companies were the first corporations to actually recognize the validity of global climate change.
So we were in Omaha this year at the Woodstock of Capitalism, as they call it, and it really is an amazing event. More than 35,000 people packed into a big basketball stadium. And it was, I think, one of the most interesting parts of a long and interesting day was when we presented the resolution, and then there was discussion from a number of other shareholders. And Berkshire is an interesting company because 38% of the company's shares are held by board members, and that's Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Charlie Munger. And so you're really seeking votes among the remaining 62% of the company that's not held by board members. And of that 62%, more than 25% of those people chose not to side with management on this issue. And, you know, given the fact that Warren Buffett is kind of adored, certainly by his shareholders and by many around the country, we felt as though that was quite significant, that a substantial number of shareholders felt that despite the recommendation against our resolution by the board of directors, that they weren't going to go in that direction. So that was a very interesting day for us.
Well, and what was also interesting was normally at these annual meetings, you don't have a lot of discussion about the topic. It's presented, the company might respond, and then the vote is announced. At Berkshire Hathaway, we had 10 people stand up to speak to the proposal, one of whom was literally apoplectic. He was quivering with rage as he said, "We cannot run this company according to the false religion of climate change." And he was cutting glances at me, and I was awfully glad that there were some security personnel nearby. I thought I might well be attacked. And what it goes to show is that America is the only country on Earth where there's a question about the validity and the accuracy of global climate change. And it just really is a result of the misinformation actively put forward by media run and owned by corporate America. It's a travesty, really, and this was a clear indication of it.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Bruce Herbert, President, and Larry Doors, Vice President of Newground Social Investment. Our topic is shareholder advocacy and progress made toward creating positive change in publicly traded corporations during 2011. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at KEXP.com. www.climatechange.org. How well are companies responding to climate change advocacy?
Well, in general, we're seeing a lot more reporting. We're seeing more companies stepping forward and setting greenhouse gas reduction targets. Companies are recognizing that the EPA is moving in the direction of regulation on carbon dioxide. And so there is movement. There is resistance as well. And so we see that as one of our roles is to continue to bring these issues up and show that very, very substantial proportions of the owners of these companies are very concerned about these issues. So I think it's all part and parcel. One of the things that we see is oftentimes issues that shareholders have been bringing to companies for a few years or several years, they move their way into the regulatory structure. And so we see it as, you know, sometimes being a little prescient or being the canary in the coal mine, that shareholders are the ones who are getting these issues rolling. And before too long, with a lot of people working together, we can carry it forward and get companies either to do it voluntarily, or if they are unwilling to do that, then they have to be regulated into doing it.
What progress has been made as a result of shareholder advocacy in regard to addressing the fracking issue?
Well, we really see this as a profoundly important issue, and of course we're not alone. Even shareholders at Chevron and Exxon this year, not known to be the most progressive communities, really supported resolutions on the environmental impacts of fracking at 40% and 28% respectively. Long-term shareholders are increasingly seeing that not the people in management, but that they, the shareholders, are the ones who are going to bear the costs of fracking and the long-term liabilities if water tables and drinking water for millions and millions of Americans is destroyed by their pollution. And we're seeing that in France, in the Canadian province of Quebec, and the city of Pittsburgh have all respectively passed laws that ban the practice because they're worried, and rightfully so. So it's a very important issue, and fracking resolutions garnered an average support of 40% this year, which is only in some cases the first year, in other cases the second year that they've been presented. And so similar levels of support were shown for resolutions that called for reports on the environmental impacts of coal ash, which also contain a variety of chemicals like arsenic, selenium, and lead, and mercury. So both fracking and coal ash resolutions are only in their second year of being offered, and so we've seen a lot of strength in that. And anyone who hasn't seen the film Gasland should probably look at that. It's quite a compelling, quite a depressing, frankly, revelation about fracking and about how the U.S. laws were totally set aside for gas companies in what was called the Halliburton exclusion. It's really quite an important documentary, I feel.
And I think this is a good place to point out that these resolutions are advisory resolutions. And so 50% in some way you would say, well, that passed. But most of all, it's a demonstration of significant support. And so when you're getting above 40% on a resolution, you know, oftentimes these are at companies whose whole reason for being is to drill for gas. And when you're having 40% of the share owners of the company expressing concern and asking for more transparency and more reporting, that's a very, very significant thing. And the board of directors really cannot say, oh, well, they didn't get 50%, and therefore, until they get 50%, it does not matter. It doesn't really work that way. You know, this shows very significant support, and there's a recognition also that some of the big mutual fund companies, the Fidelities of the world, they have an overwhelming tendency to support management on all of these environmental and social issues. And so when you're getting 40% support and you're oftentimes not getting any support from the major players, you know, that's a very, very strong statement to the companies that shareholders are really concerned. And you can be concerned about this easily from an environmental point of view, but also you can be concerned about it straight up from a financial liability point of view. And I think that both of those are driving these strong votes.
To what extent have the companies responded to these pressures on fracking and the coal ash?
Well, on coal ash, for instance, the companies are fighting a new effort by the EPA to regulate it as a hazardous waste. But nevertheless, some companies are announcing new moves to mothball their dirtiest coal-fired plants, as American Electric Power did this week. And on fracking, companies like Southwestern Energy are making more disclosure on the chemicals that they're pumping into the ground. The Gasland film, if I'm remembering correctly, reported that there are 596 different chemicals that are used in various of the fracking. processes. And that process is pumping these materials down into the ground to break up under intense pressure to break up the shale so that the oil is then releasable. But then that also breaks up the dividing lines between where oil had been and where our water supply is, such that you have instances of water being polluted, and actually so much so that in the film and other places you see pictures of people's tap water being able to be lit on fire. It's really remarkably striking. Now, states like Wyoming and Arkansas and Texas have passed new rules that require better disclosure of the chemicals that drillers use. And, of course, the companies say that this is proprietary information. It would diminish their competitive advantage if they were to let people know what the heck it is that's being put into the environment. And several more proposals under consideration at other states, and the Canadian government is also considering that on the national level. And so we do see shareholder work in this realm as really having had a key part in moving these issues forward.
Would you just briefly speak about the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010 and its effect on shareholder rights and advocacy?
Yeah, just so people understand, when Congress passes a law related to investment, they essentially send it over to the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, to develop the rules that then are going to implement the desires of Congress. And so there were a number of pieces of the Dodd-Frank Act. Some have now been put into play, and one of those was giving shareholders a routine vote on executive pay. So that's something, again, that shareholders have been pushing on for many years, and now it's a matter of law. So that's a very interesting first step from Dodd-Frank. And next year, the shareholders will have the right to vote on what are called golden parachutes. And what sometimes happens is that top management at a company will negotiate a buyout or allow themselves to be taken over in a way that may not benefit shareholders. And what has happened in the past is sometimes they get tens of millions of dollars as a golden parachute that essentially is a reward for selling out the company. And now shareholders will have a right to see what that deal is and to vote on it. So that's a very interesting step as we go forward. That one's just beginning to be implemented. So it'll be in there for the next shareholder season.
What efforts have been made by shareholder advocates in 2011 to increase company transparency, particularly in regard to political contributions?
Well, it has been a very important year, and something that has changed since last year is that the Conference Board, which is one of the major arbiters of business thinking on various topics, has published a handbook on corporate contributions and disclosure. And that handbook really adopted all of the principles that we have been talking about from a shareholder perspective to companies about their handling of these things. And so that's a very important shift to change. And the voting results have been quite dramatic. More than half of the S&P 100 now have adopted political disclosure. And of the 31 resolutions for which we've tallied results this year, more than two-thirds received a better than 30% vote. A number of shares have reached 40%. We've even had some majority votes on the topic. So it really is capturing people's imagination because of how apparent it is that the need is great.
And we'll see that much more. We're going into the 2012 election cycle, and I think that people will demand transparency and accountability to know where are these messages coming from that are being repeated and repeated and repeated.
You're listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Bruce Herbert, President, and Larry Doors, Vice President of Newground Social Investment. Our topic is shareholder advocacy and progress made toward creating positive change in publicly traded corporations during 2011. What have been some efforts by shareholder advocates in regard to human rights during 2011?
Well, some of the efforts are related to non-discrimination and making sure that sexual orientation is explicitly mentioned in non-discrimination policies. So those resolutions, there was one at ConocoPhillips that got 25%, one at Walmart that got 10%. And just to be clear, the 10% threshold allows refiling on an ongoing continuous basis year after year after year to bring this up. And oftentimes it takes a number of years to kind of educate people or to have time pass and people begin to feel a little bit differently about all this. We also co-filed a resolution at Chevron this year regarding their decision-making as to where they're going to go do business and where they're going to not do business. And that one is really specifically related to their partnership with the military regime in Burma, which is the very people who are partners with Chevron are certainly guilty of the most heinous crimes and campaigns of rape and torture. And that seems inappropriate for business partners, one would think. And that resolution got a quarter of all the shares outstanding for Chevron supported that resolution this year.
Would you like to speak about the proposals that Newground has filed with Northwest Companies during 2011?
We filed a series of proposals at Northwest Companies, and one of the exciting ones, I think, that we have touched on here before was with Plum Creek Timber. And Plum Creek, we were asking them to adopt a very straightforward method of vote counting for their ballots. And what's interesting is most companies, a majority, are incorporated in Delaware. And under Delaware law, a company can adopt virtually any vote counting standard they want. And not to get too complicated, there's sort of four categories of votes. And the largest one is votes where people haven't voted. Companies historically have voted those in favor of themselves. Another category is abstentions, people who have read the ballot and have consciously chosen not to vote yay or nay. But companies often will uniformly take those as being in favor of management and so forth. So it skews the vote total tremendously. Now, the Securities and Exchange Commission does mandate a vote counting standard, a very straightforward and democratic one, for the purpose of determining eligibility for resubmission of these shareholder proposals. And so that's the standard that we wanted applied across the board to all manner of votes. And Plum Creek, a year ago, did take one major step in our direction by eliminating what was called the broker non-votes, but they still were counting abstentions. And this year, we recognized that they were counting abstentions on shareholder votes, but not counting them on board of director votes. So they actually were using two different vote counting methodologies. When we brought that to their attention and asked them to correct that, this year they did. So they amended their corporate bylaws to have a uniform and very democratic form of vote counting across the board. And so we are very pleased with that and are taking steps to make this a national conversation and try to get this same level of democratic vote counting across the board in corporate America.
Yeah, because believe it or not, if you read the proxy closely, you will find that it appears to be a majority of publicly traded companies in the U.S. They say explicitly in the proxy, an abstention counts the same as a vote against. So they give you three boxes, for, against, and abstain. And if you mark the abstain box, typically they will simply erase it and count it as though you marked the against box. And to me, that's outlandish. And any time a company is forced to defend that practice in public, they're going to look foolish. So we really feel as though we can make some progress on this issue. And it's just one of justice and fairness, basically.
And we also filed at Boeing on political contributions. And I go back to a quote that the assistant treasurer said to us several years ago, when he just in a moment of rare candor said, "We just don't have the stomach for this kind of disclosure." So we are continuing to encourage and push Boeing. And they really do need to take positive steps in this realm. They need to step up to the plate.
We also filed a resolution with Nordstrom. And that was around issues of water use, because both when you manufacture textiles and when you manufacture garments, both of those processes use an awful lot of water. And coincidentally, they're often in places where access to clean water is difficult. So we had good conversations with them, and they made some commitments that we were happy with. And so we went ahead and withdrew. Just as we withdrew the resolution at Plum Creek Timber, we withdrew our resolution at Nordstrom based on an agreement that we negotiated.
And we also filed this year with Amazon, and also related to political disclosure. And they have been reticent to have meaningful conversation. We have met with them and had pleasant time, but they haven't been interested in really taking positive steps. Even though last year we got really quite a substantive vote on the docket, this year they engaged in a political maneuver that allowed the resolution to be stricken from the proxy, even though last year 35 or 36% of shareholders did not agree with management's position on the topic. So we feel that the company has a ways to go, and we are encouraging them to go there.
Which companies have stood out as leaders in making positive change in response to shareholder advocacy during 2011?
Well, you know, I'm going to depart a little bit here and highlight a company that took some very positive steps in 2011 but where the shareholder proposal was filed in 2009. And this is McDonald's. And McDonald's, we reported last year, had agreed to a very substantive pilot project on reducing pesticide use in their potato supply chain. And they are North America's, perhaps the world's largest buyer of potatoes. And in this year, that pilot project worked out so well that in 2011, they are rolling it out to 100% of their potato growers. They also told us that they are going to take it into every one of their other agricultural products, tomatoes, lettuce, onions, anything that they use. They have already introduced it into their consortiums in Canada, covering all of Europe, as well as throughout Asia. And the last thing that they said to us in a recent conference call, they said that they feel that this is such an important issue, it should not just be a McDonald's issue. It should be an industry-wide one. So McDonald's is going to be the white knight taking this out to all of their industry peers, which will have phenomenal effect on the reduction of really toxic compounds that are just spewed onto our crops and fields every day. And already, just as a result of the pilot project, already there have been globally measurable results, lowering of pesticide use. A university study that was conducted by the University of Georgia and Washington State University was actually reported on in the journal Nature. So the impact of this and the ripple effect, literally, I'm quite humbled to say, will touch the lives of every person and every being on this planet by lowering the chemical load on our bodies.
Which companies have stood out as laggards in making positive change in response to shareholder advocacy during 2011?
Well, I think, you know, Bruce mentioned Boeing, and I think that Boeing really is pretty recalcitrant, especially on the political spending issue. In the past, they have had criminal problems with their relationship with politicians, and this is really a key concern, and there should be transparency around it. So I think that Boeing stands out. BP, this year, one would have thought they would have come to their annual meeting with a hat in hand a little bit because of the terrible results from last year. And in fact, they ran a very aggressive anti-shareholder meeting and excluded people from the meeting who had the right to be there. And so I think that BP is also one that stands out as a laggard. And then I think Chevron continues to be a company that acts in a very arrogant manner, often against shareholder interests, certainly against community interests, and oftentimes, as far as we're concerned, often against U.S. interests. And the idea that a private corporation should be seeking profit against the interests of the people who create the environment in which they flourish just doesn't seem correct.
What are likely to be the key issues for shareholder advocacy during the 2012 proxy season?
Well, one thing that's going to be possible, again, it's related to Dodd-Frank, is that next year it will be possible for owners of 3% or more of the shares of a company to put forward board of director candidates. And it's very difficult for us to know exactly how this is going to play out, but it's certainly going to bear a lot of watching. And so it'll probably make next year a fairly exciting proxy season.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
There's no doubt that the time is now for people to become involved and engaged, and we would like to just offer a message of hope that there is the possibility for people to use their money in a way that is consistent with their values and their beliefs. They needn't give up return or believe that Wall Street myth that you have to suffer financially if you want to do right socially and environmentally. But it is important to take these actions joining with others. The voice alone in the wilderness often doesn't get heard. Joined together, we have an immense amount of power and opportunity. And really, the time is now. We had the significant meltdown of 2008 and 2009, and the regulatory response and the legal response to that was really quite minimal. And so it becomes up to us as individuals to band together and to advocate for what we want to see changed.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You have just been listening to Bruce Herbert, President, and Larry Doors, Vice President of Newground Social Investment. For more information, check on the web at www.newground.net. Again, that's newground.net. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.